Today I would like to speak to you about the election of Ratzinger. You read in the media constantly that he is a conservative and a traditionalist. That's what I saw yesterday on the internet, a conservative and a traditionalist. And I would like to warn you about him. If you remember, 2 weeks ago I said that they will probably elect a John Paul III, perhaps even literally. And not literally, but in fact they did. That is somebody who succeeds to all of the policies and ideas. As a matter of fact, Ratzinger was the architect and the theoretician of all of the theology and policies of Wojtyła, John Paul II. So it is really no different from what we had before. Joseph Ratzinger was born in 1927, and he was ordained a priest in 1952. He grew up in Bavaria, and he was in his 30s, when he was in his 30s, he was the private theologian of Cardinal Frings at Vatican II. Now, you have to understand briefly what happened at Vatican II. When John XXIII announced Vatican II, there was a preparatory commission that was headed by Cardinal Ottaviani. And Cardinal Ottaviani prepared the documents for Vatican II. These documents were very traditional. And if Vatican II had done what Cardinal Ottaviani and that commission had proposed, it would have been very good. But there was what was known as the European Alliance or the European Coalition, that is a group of German, Dutch, Belgian, and French bishops who got together and pushed for a liberal modernist agenda. And the person who wrote the documents of Vatican II was someone by the name of Karl Rahner. And he gave these documents to the German bishops at Fulda, and the German bishops altered them slightly and brought them down to Vatican II, and through a great deal of pushing and influencing, they managed to get the documents that had been prepared by Cardinal Ottaviani bumped, and in their place, these documents written by Karl Rahner. Now, Karl Rahner was a heretic. He wrote many things that were clearly heretical, and we don't have time to speak about that right now. But Ratzinger was Rahner's right-hand man at the council. You can see pictures of Ratzinger in suit and tie. He was a priest. But he's at the council in suit and tie because he was a radical. And at that time, if you remember in the 1960s, to see a priest in a suit and tie would be shocking. Just shocking. But there he was, shocking to all, in his radicalism. Right-hand man of Karl Rahner and Hans Küng, who is also a heretic. Those three, Ratzinger, Küng, and Rahner, were the ones that were the theological minds of Vatican II. So this is the triumph of that period, to see these radicals who destroyed that council now elected supposedly to be the Pope. It's the triumph of all of that spirit that has destroyed the Catholic Church over the past 40 years. So don't have any illusions about him. So he's not, therefore, a conservative by any means. Don't forget, 2 weeks ago I told you that he consecrated a bishop recently who publicly stated in an article that the resurrection of Christ is a myth. Ratzinger consecrated him a bishop. He was the architect, as I said, of Wojtyła's theology, and he was also responsible for many of the things that happened in Wojtyła's time, namely the approval of a mass without a consecration, and the joint declaration with the Lutherans on justification, which contains open heresies, and which is the trashing of the Council of Trent. I mean, this man is not by any means a conservative. He is a conservative Novus Ordite, If you just take the Novus Ordo, he's a conservative among them, because he gives at least lip service against contraception, against women priests and other things. He gives lip service to that. But have you looked at the polls of people, of Catholics, the very ones that are yelling Viva il Papa today, what they think? What they think about contraception, what they think about the presence of Christ in the Holy Eucharist, what they think about women priests. The majority of people in these churches that you see around here want those things. Want those heretical things. They are the ones that are in the piazza of St. Peter's today. This man is not a Catholic. Alright? And the reason I say that is because he is an ecumenical maniac. In his first speech to the cardinals, he said he was going to pursue the ecumenism. He said he was going to continue the reforms of Vatican II and pursue ecumenism. And you must understand that ecumenism is the enemy. Ecumenism is at the bottom of all of the problems of the Catholic Church today. Pope Pius XI called it the abandonment of the religion revealed by God. So it is not we who are blackening the name of ecumenism. It is the authority of the Catholic Church, Pius XI, who called it the abandonment of the religion revealed by God. And yet this is the basis of all of the liturgical, doctrinal and disciplinary changes of Vatican II. So for as long as they are ecumenical, they are no good and they are no pope. What will his program be? I think that he will push the ecumenical agenda very vigorously. I listened this morning to his speech, and again he is pushing ecumenism. So I think, and now that he's 78 already, he will have a short reign. And I think that he will be very, very vigorous in pushing this. He uses the term reconciled diversity, which means that he wants all religions to get together in one grand alliance or community of religions where they all retain what they have, their heresies, their schisms, whatever else they have, but they're all reconciled. And this is a term that he borrowed from a Protestant minister. But that's what he wants. And the one good thing about Ratzinger is he has written an enormous amount, and he has said an enormous amount over the past number of years, so we know exactly what he thinks. And he also is the architect of the new ecclesiology. Those of you who followed my debate with Dr. Fastigi will remember the new ecclesiology. The traditional ecclesiology. Ecclesiology means the teaching of the church concerning the church itself. The traditional ecclesiology is that the Church of Christ is the Roman Catholic Church. It is the single true Church of Christ. It is the single means of salvation in the world. Anything outside of the Roman Catholic Church is a false religion and is not a means of salvation. It's very simple. But obviously, you cannot do ecumenism with theories like that or teaching like that. So they had to alter that, and now they distinguish between the Church of Christ and the Roman Catholic Church. The Church of Christ takes in many, many. It takes in schismatics, and it takes in heretics, and even goes beyond the spheres of those who are baptized. It goes into Jews, Muslims, and Buddhists, and so forth. So that the whole human race, essentially, is in some way, in this Church of Christ. And the only difference between it and the Roman Catholic Church is that the Roman Catholic Church has the fullness, whereas everyone else has the church to a certain degree. And so they speak about full communion and partial communion, which means that we are in communion with heretics, we're in communion with the Lutherans across the street, we're in communion with all of these different sects, heretics, but not completely. And I'll give you an analogy. You know that the Mass has certain essential parts. It has the offertory, the canon, and the communion. And then it has certain other parts which complete it. So they are saying that all these religions have the essential parts of the Church of Christ, but we have the fullness, we have the whole thing. And that is contrary to our creed. We believe in one church, it says in the creed, and the church has always understood that to mean the doctrine that I gave you at the beginning. And Pope Pius XII said this explicitly, the Catholic Church is the Church of Christ. He condemned this doctrine of a confederation of churches being the Church of Christ. And it was condemned by many other popes. It has been something cooked up by these ecumenists in order to do ecumenism. And it is condemned by the church, but Ratzinger is a great proponent of it. He helped to formulate it. It was Karl Rahner, who was his mentor and teacher, who wrote the document Lumen Gentium, which contained this false doctrine at Vatican II. So Ratzinger also is heretical on other aspects. He is an evolutionist with regard to the truth and the church. Listen to what he said in Rome in a Protestant church in 1993, and this is, by the way, all printed out for you. He said, therefore, the goal, the aim of every ecumenical effort is to attain the real unity of the church, which implies a multitude of forms which we cannot yet define. Now, first of all, unity of the church. Don't we believe that the church is one? Don't we recite that every Sunday in the Creed? He's saying, therefore, the church is not yet one. It has not achieved its unity. That itself is a heresy. It's contrary to the creed that you recite. Secondly, he cannot define what the church will be in the future. He says, for the time being, I do not dare suggest any concrete, possible and imaginable realizations of this future church. How could any Catholic say that? How could any Catholic who believes that the Constitution, the doctrines, the essence of the Catholic Church has been given to us by Christ and is immutable, how can anyone say, I cannot imagine what the future church will be like? He is an evolutionist. And so we are expected to go with him down this path, and we know not where it leads. For him, the essence of the church is not defined. He says in his book, Many Religions, One Covenant, which was published in 1998, he said, what we need, however, is respect for the beliefs of others and the readiness to look for the truth in what strikes us as strange or foreign. Well, if it strikes us as strange or foreign, doesn't that mean that it contradicts Catholic doctrine? If it contradicts Catholic doctrine, how could it be true? He says, for such truth concerns us and can correct us and lead us farther along the path. See, he has this idea of constant movement and evolution of the Catholic Church. And that it will be something in 20 years what it is not today, and it is today something it was not 20 years ago. That is contrary to the whole nature of Catholicism. He says, I shall learn my own truth better if I understand the other person and allow myself to be moved along the road to the God who is ever greater, certain that I never hold the whole truth about God in my own hands. How could a Catholic say that? Certain that I do not hold the whole truth about God in my own hands. And in the context of this is dialoguing with non-Catholics. How could any Catholic say that? Why do we adhere to the Catholic Church except to have the whole truth about God in our own hands? What use is the church if it does not give us the whole truth? If there is a mixture of error in the teaching of the church, of what use is it? Isn't it just a sect just like any of the other religions? If you say that, our Lord says in the gospel today, the Spirit of God will teach you all truth. He says that to the apostles, all truth. And he says he's certain that he never holds the truth, the whole truth about God in his own hands. Is that not a contradiction of the Holy Gospel that was just on my lips today? But he says, I am always a learner on pilgrimage toward it, meaning the whole truth, on a path that has no end. Which means we never really discover the whole truth about God. He says, religion contains the precious pearl of truth, so to speak, but it is always hiding it, and it is continually in danger of losing sight of its essence. How could you say that about the Catholic religion? That it is always hiding the truth and always in danger of losing its essence? Where is the assistance of the Spirit of God to the Catholic Church in such a statement? He says, religion can fall sick and become something destructive. It can and should lead us to truth, but it can also cut men off from the truth. Now listen to this. He says, we may find it relatively easy to criticize the religion of others, but we must be ready to accept criticism of ourselves and of our own religion. He says, Karl Barth, who was a Protestant theologian, distinguished in Christianity between religion and faith. He was right insofar as the religion of the Christian can succumb to sickness and become superstition. How could you say that? The concrete religion in which faith is lived out must continually be purified on the basis of truth. That truth which shows itself, on the one hand, in faith, and on the other hand, reveals itself anew through dialogue, allowing us to acknowledge its mystery and infinity. So religion, that means what we believe, what we practice, can stray from faith. How could a Catholic say that? How can religion stray from faith? And how do you purify religion? By dialogue with non-Catholics. This man is a monster. And it's clear that he has the modernist idea that faith is every man's religious experience. Karl Rahner's first principle is that the Holy Ghost is in everyone. He denies original sin. That every man has the grace of the Holy Ghost, and every man has a religious experience, and every religion is supernatural. That's his teacher. That's Ratzinger's teacher and mentor. So that's why John Paul II went to the voodoos and went to the idolaters and praised their religion, because he finds in them something of God, because every religion is in some way a manifestation of the Spirit of God. That's Karl Rahner, and that's Ratzinger. That there is a faith that is different from your religion. That God is speaking to you apart from your religion. That's pure modernism. It's condemned by St. Pius X. Read his documents. It's pure modernism. Listen to what he says about the missionary activity of the church. Missionary activity in the future cannot proceed as if it were simply a case of communicating to someone who has no knowledge at all of God, what he has to believe. He says the proclamation of the gospel must be necessarily a dialogical process. So the missionaries are supposed to go and dialogue with people of false religions. He says, we are not telling the other person something that is entirely unknown to him. Rather, we are opening up the hidden depth of something with which, in his own religion, he is already in touch. So that confirms what I said about him, that he has this idea that all religions are supernatural. All religions are an expression of an interior contact with God that is based on sanctifying grace, and that all we are doing is trying to draw out from them this religious experience. That's the missionary activity of the church. And then he says, the dialogue of religions should become more and more a listening to the Logos, meaning Christ, who is pointing out to us in the midst of our separation and our contradictory affirmations the unity which we already share. So we get together, we have contradictions. Why do we have contradictions? Because the heretics contradict what the Catholic Church teaches. And from all of these contradictions, we're supposed to discover the unity that we already share. Now, do you see what he's saying? Is that all of us are all confused. We're all in error. We're all on the same path trying to find the truth. And one day we're all going to come together in this discovery of the truth. That is heretical. That denies the truth of the Catholic faith, that it is the one true church, the one true faith, that it has the assistance of the Holy Ghost in teaching the truth. So what should our attitude be toward Ratzinger, the same as it was toward Wojtyła, that he is not a Catholic because he is a public heretic, and that he is imposing a false religion upon Catholics. And for both of these reasons, he cannot be a true Catholic Pope. But we must continue, as always, all the time, praying to God that he restore to us one day a true Catholic Pope, because the life of the Church and our own life as Catholics will never be normal until there is a true Catholic Pope reigning in Rome. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.